Welcome back to another episode of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
Jakey Wakey, Shaky Jake in the building.
I'm still not well, you know.
No?
No, it's still? I can't shake it off, man. I've got to fight for
it. 100-day sickness that people get in.
It's something or other. But episode 45, that's a pretty good milestone.
Even dude, if I'm dying. Seven more to go. Seven more, and we've been going for a year.
Hell yeah. And then we can quit.
Then we can quit on top. Yeah, man. Just got to talk about, you just showed me, or actually a few days ago, we were just jamming it again, though. You showed me the best. I don't want to spoil too much, but you showed me the best ACAN I've seen in a fucking long time, man.
Thank you, dude.
I don't know what your plan is with it, if it's coming out or not, but I'm just stoked on it. I don't know why I just needed to like get it out of my head, because I mean, we were literally just jamming it before we started recording. But keep your ears and eyes peeled. I filmed the performance. I sent it to you, of me doing it to Kaylee, and it absolutely smashed pants off her.
Yeah, I think I'll probably just put it in place. A little membership, maybe. It's tentatively called Bacon.
Like Bacon.
Yeah.
And I can tell why. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, that's super good. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to jump that. How you been, man? Apart from feeling sick, you ventured outside the house yet?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been filming all weekend. Helping someone film some trailer stuff and getting some performance stuff myself as well. But yeah, it's been good, man. It's been good. It's starting to be sunny again now. So I'm in seasonal depression has left my body.
I'm not even kidding, right? I went for, on the weekend, I just went and spent some time outdoors with my kid and my family. And we went to like the beach, and then we did like this, like there's this dope ass like woods that run to the beach. Anyway, but like the UK, for anyone listening from the US, it's primarily like grey and miserable. It has been for the last 3 months over winter. Like there hasn't really been a nice, clear, sunny day. So anyway, we went out, did that, stayed off technology all weekend. You didn't hear from me. No one did. And then I came home, and for the first time in ages, like yesterday I put up a tutorial Tuesday, and I felt like it was the easiest thing in the world, if that makes sense, to do. Yeah. I actually felt like, I was like, I don't know how to describe it. There's certain days when, it's kind of like when you play sports and stuff. Some days you just know you can do it. You're like, I know I'm on today. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is how it works. I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to film it. Done. And I just, it was like I could, and I just feel like it's because of the weather was so clear and so good, man. And just being outdoors for a while.
Yeah, dude, it makes a difference. It's getting sunny now, so I think I'm going to shave my beard, cut my hair, and get ripped. That's the plan.
Abs for Mabs.
Yeah. It was abs for Blackpool, and that never happened, did it?
Blackpool. Talking of Blackpool and stuff, though, changing the subject, what have you been working on, man? Anything creative or anything we should create today on today's episode in particular?
It depends. It's always that eternal battle between what do you tip and what is okay to talk about. Because I've been playing around with an idea for a t-shirt effect, but that might be something that actually gets something done with it. I think I told you.
Oh, you did tell me. Yeah, you told me what this was. I wouldn't talk about it yet till you've got like the details ironed out. Today. Mind the pun.
I've been playing with a lot of VSP stuff. I have like a ESP effect called Rat Maze that I've been playing with. That's quite fun. I taught that I taught like an early version of it.
I don't know if it's me, but your connection is so janky at the minute.
VMC. That was fun, but it's got a bit better now. You'll have to talk for a sec because I might go off.
Super unstable. Yeah, I was going to say I can barely hear anything. It's like... Could just be me, though. So... What can we discuss here? I'm trying to think what's been interesting me. Anything non-magic? So I want to... Like, what I've been thinking about lately is just interesting imagery with object. So two objects or three objects that just look fascinating and creating a piece of magic to go with it, whether they penetrate or link each other, vanish, appear, mutate. Two interesting things, hence why like having a ring on a Coke can for the tutorial I thought was just like really interesting to look at. So I wonder if you could just name like think of two interesting objects that just would look pretty together and see what we could come up with it.
Okay, sick. I'm down.
Okay, cool. Name some. It's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part, okay,
What would be a
two
cool trick would
objects.
be to take a one of those classic yellow 2B pencils and a spiral bound notebook, and then place the pencil in through the spirals and then have it penetrate out. Maybe you open the page of the book, and
Oh.
when you close them again, it's inside the book now, and it's gone from like the little cage. Kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool. Maybe probably
Like a
you'd probably
mini
be able to
stage illusion.
make something that's fairly practical as well.
You reckon?
I think so. I think so. Sorry, switching connection then just reset my brain.
There's two ways you could do it. Well, there's multiple different ways you could do it. Like A, you could have it so that the spiral bound notebook, the spirals are like they open up secretly like a door, which would be a bit of a nightmare to make. Or you could have two pencils. One is on a pole and the other is loaded inside the book pages, maybe, right? So then you thread the pencil through the spirals and imagine you're holding the spiral bound notebook so that the spirals are running parallel with the floor. So
Yeah.
so you're holding the book sideways basically. Almost like a flip book. So then when you feed the pencil in, it's almost in line with your sleeve and on the and on the what's it called? The on the on the on the pole. So there, all you need to do is have a pencil inside the pages, and you could literally let the pencil shoot up your sleeve and it could drop out, or it could. I wonder if you had a little like clear bag taped to the front of the notebook, and then as you shake it appears inside that clear bag, and it could be like a slit in the back of the cover that you pop the pencil through as you squeeze and it pops in.
You could have you could have like a slit that the bag actually goes in, like so part of the bag goes into the slit with the pencil in, so it's already inside the bag, and it looks like it's a complete. Do you know what I mean? So
And then
it's
you
like,
just pop it out.
yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Oh, that would be really good. Or you could use some sort of black art for
Yeah.
it. Or it could be like a whole like flap of a page with another clear plastic bag. But I don't know that the interesting imagery of like the pen penetrating through the spirals. I just like that. It could be that you do like a is it Louis Simonov? I always get the name wrong. It's flippant move. So you just have it, the notebook, the pen's locked inside, and then you just make the other one appear. It could be that you get like a mini notebook. It doesn't have to be a big notebook. Just like A4, A5, A6 size notepad, pop spiral bound, and then you could hold it between your fingertips. You have the pencil between your fingers. The notepad's dangling through it. Obviously, it's on a pole though, and then maybe just pull the notepad. And one shoots up your sleeve when the other one comes into view, maybe holding it behind slightly. I don't know.
If your fingers are like that and it's only like an IKEA size pencil, you could have another IKEA size pencil here whilst the other one is in between there.
Just literally directly behind it.
Yeah.
It could be that the pencil is not a pencil, and there's a black art image of the spirals on the other side of a piece. So it's made of paper. Maybe maybe you just put a strip of black tube through it, but there's images of the lines drawn on it. Not tube, but a piece of paper through it. Could be. I wonder if the trick is not that it just melts through. Is it like the center of the pencil vanishes whilst it's in the spirals, or
Or does the spiral do something to the pencil so it goes in a normal pencil and comes out all twisty?
twisty? Oh.
Or something.
Oh, well, in that case, then Oh, because spirals twist, I suppose, the natural element to them is that they twist. If it was a special made pen that had like a pencil that had a twist that was twisted, right? And you can do that with you get two pliers, not pliers, what they called with like a wrench, like pliers, but more thicker ones. And you put the pencil over steam from the kettle, or a plastic pen, sorry, for over steam from a kettle. You can twist it up. You know? If you did that, put it through the spirals and then took a photo of a normal pencil in the spiral, print that out and put it through as black art on one side. So you could show like this, and you could twist it and let it flip around, and then it would reveal the pencil or the pen twisted up
That's quite
the other side
cool.
visually.
Yeah, I used to love doing that that bending and twisting trick. I'd take the pens into college
Oh,
and get my
do you
Yuri
remember doing it with
Gagarin.
a? You could do like a Luba Fiedler. Fiedler? Fiedler? I always say it wrong. What else could be done? What other? Maybe we're just going off on a tangent.
Just obsessed with spiral notebooks at the moment.
Yeah,
See,
that's
I
the
was
worst
switching
thing.
my connection, so I didn't really hear how you got onto this subject. You were just talking about what like motivated you to create visually.
Yeah, I think lately I was just thinking of what just two interesting objects would coincide well together, and then what effect could you make from it. And I said
Okay.
this way, like the ring on the ring pull came from. I just thought it would look really pretty to have a ring on a Coke can.
Yeah, I really
Something
like
about it.
the kind of loading system you've got for that. I watched your tutorial yesterday. It's cool, man.
Oh, thanks, man. It was just kind of like organically came together. The properties of a Coke can having that circular disc in the center that attaches the ring pull is identical to a disc magnet, you know? So it's sort of
Yeah.
like it was like it was meant to work. It was meant to be.
Do you think there's something else you could do with that as well? There's a phase two there because of those
Yeah.
magnets.
Well, yeah, no, there's definitely more you can do because of the magnets. Like say like pulling a ring pull off or reattaching it or other things. But the main thing that the original starting point was that I wanted it to be on the zip of a wallet. So actually, like some zips have a little hole in them on the actual tag part of the zip.
Yeah.
That was the original thing I wanted, and I wanted to put the reel inside a wallet and have the zip come off. So zip the wallet closed with the reel inside it, but there was actually no end to the zip, like no tag or the little moving thing. But that was the full reel, and it would go zip on the wallet. So then you put out, your wallet would be closed and attached, linked to the tag of the zip would be that. And I thought actually it would look cooler if it just look prettier on a Coke can. And the tab was the Coke can tab. So I was just, that's where my head was at.
It's probably like the dumbest, most like basic idea to go towards, but because you have that magnet there, you could have another tab that's on the inside, and so it's attached to the top. And when you shake the can, you can't hear anything. And then if you were to take the tab off whilst it's upside down, and then you vanish the tab, and it appears inside the can.
That's cool.
No,
Oh, that's
it's not cool.
cool.
My brain isn't turned on yet.
That is. I don't know why. I have no idea where this is going, but in my head, I just had an image of like a handful of like 200 tabs that you drop, and one. I don't know. I don't know. What's in my head, just like 200 little tabs pulled off a can.
This is
Don't know what
like
you
when
do
you
with
were
them.
obsessed with that bucket full of AirPods.
Oh, what? Yeah, what was I thinking then, man?
No,
How
I think
stupid.
it was fun. I liked the practical solution we eventually came up with, which was if they're all just shells of AirPods, then none of them are magnetic apart from the real ones.
Oh yeah.
The
Oh, you'd reach in and pull out your own AirPods, wasn't it?
with a
Look,
PK
look.
ring, yeah.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. Man, what were we thinking back then? What other two interesting objects are there though? That it's 'cause it doesn't necessarily, everyone's so obsessed with EDC these days or normal things, but it doesn't have to be EDC. Like it doesn't have to be objects that you necessarily carry on you. That's what that when I came up with the ring pull yesterday on the can, I was like, oh, can's not EDC, you wouldn't keep that on you. And then I was like, fuck it. It just looks cool.
Yeah, that's true. So what is something that looks cool? See, I'm looking around my apartment now and I can't see anything that looks cool. Annoyingly, there's an air fryer, a tripod.
Just melt this tripod through my sleeve.
What is
Some
something that
cheese.
you could feasibly have on you, but is not necessarily EDC?
Doesn't have to be feasible either. Doesn't have to be feasible. It could be
True.
anything. It's cool. A little
True.
pocket mirror, you know, the flip open pocket mirrors.
Yes. Do you know what I
You
use
know
them
that?
for?
No, I
Go on, keep
was
thinking
gonna
of something
say
rude. Keep on.
something. Go on, you tell me.
So I have a little one of those that I have full of ash. I use it for the ash trick. It's to
Do
carry the
you?
yeah. Because ash is a hard thing to carry around. So I have a little. It's like a key ring mirror, but it's just the best. It's a good size just to have ash inside.
Holy fuck. I had a dream last night
Yeah.
about ESP cards and a mirror. And oh wait, this is literally fuck me. Okay, this is exactly what happened in the dream. The dream was that people put out okay, so there's each of you have five ESP cards, and let's just use them as numbers for now.
Yeah.
But then so it's easier to understand. This is literally, I guess this is so weird. This is literally what I dreamt about. Fuck. So basically, I put them face down. I put my five face down. You put your five face down. We turn them over, opposing each other. And yours would say one, mine would say five. So we got it wrong. Yours would say two, mine would say four. Got it wrong. Yours would say three, mine would say three. Got it right. And then two and four and five and one again. So they were wrong. And then there was a reveal which says, open this mirror. And the mirror would show that yours matched identically. And for some reason, the middle one was pointed out as a convincer, or the middle one was the mirror or something. It was something like that. But the idea of revealing it wrong, but proving that you had it completely perfectly from the offset. How did I dream that? Why was I dreaming that?
I
That
don't
was
know.
literally last night.
We have been playing around with some ESP stuff lately, so I guess it got in your head.
Yeah. I'm recording an ESP trick actually on Kaylee today. You know the one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited to see your handling of it.
Yeah, me too, because I'm not entirely sure which way I'm going to go with it. But
Well,
that's it, yeah. But isn't that could be interesting then, in a sense of I love the use of mirrors. I use it in like the treasure hunt that I built into the Moonshine vintage elixirs. The
oh
use of
yeah.
mirrors as a reveal in some way, but like a predetermined reveal.
So you could maybe do something like what is that effect with the coins and the mirrors?
Twilight Angels.
Yeah. Maybe like there's something cool there. Although that's a bit
If
stepping on too many
it was
toes.
something like, you know, this is a bit too on the nose, but if the cards had, so you have two sets of cards, and the idea is like so imagine there's a deck of cards, and on the cards are letters, and you say we're going to take out some letters from the deck. They're arbitrary, they don't mean anything, and you're going to mix them up and then lay them down in any order that you wish. So we both do that. Or maybe no, maybe it doesn't need to be mine. Mine don't even need to be in there. So you do that, and then you lay down the letters like RORRIM. And you put one to the side as like a bonus prediction or some shit. Or I have a prediction in an envelope. And it says like this letter spell RIROM. And then you open the prediction, it's a mirror. And you hold it towards the end of the letters, and the letters have spelt mirror, and you've laid them out in the exact right order.
I've just thought of something that's like a really dumb method.
Do
So
it.
do you know those shapes where when you put a mirror over the top of them, it looks like they are a number?
Yeah. The shapes within a number. You mean like a cryptex type of thing?
Kind of, but it's like
You
half
flip
of the
them.
number, but it just looks like a symbol. And then when you put the
Oh
mirror,
yeah.
if you had cards that were made up like that. And so you're trying to get to the final, you're trying to get the cards in the order to the final number, which is whatever it is, a phone number, a bill, a serial number. But it starts off as if it's some kind of traditional matching thing. So it doesn't matter what
Yeah.
order your cards are in. And you're trying to get their cards in a certain number. But the method is it's actually just your cards. So when you put your cards on top of each other like this. Well, then when you turn them over, you can have it so it looks like the card they chose is the one that's the right one in order. Does that make sense?
I think so.
You're just putting your cards in order and turning it over so it looks like your card is their card. And then when you show them the mirror on their half, it says a number. I think, you
Okay,
know what? I think
you have to like
I'm still
write one
asleep.
out for me. And...
Yeah, I've.
No. You no, I think it's a good idea. I'm just struggling to picture it, but maybe you could just design one and
I
show
will.
me.
I will do. I will do. Purely just for like a cinema or
That
a
could be
phone.
brilliant. That could be absolutely brilliant.
So if you did it where it was like a switch at the start so that they didn't know what cards they were putting down, they would have no reason to think that you'd switch the cards. You know, if you said, oh, I'm gonna put down these like colors, my color cards, and you're putting down these symbols and they're gonna make sense in a moment. But you switch the cards so they're actually putting down the colors and you're putting down the symbols in the right order. And then when you turn them over, so that it looks like you've turned over their card and your card, they would have no reason to doubt that they put down the cards you said they were going to put down.
Yes, I'm with you.
Waffling, man. I'm waffling. Don't worry.
No, you're not. No, I'm with you. I just gotta. Maybe we make a little video afterwards and add it to the group.
Yes, perhaps.
Adding more work to your plate for you.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I have quite a lot of work on today.
No rest for the wicked.
I know. So, okay, just two other completely random objects that aren't necessarily
Yes.
EDC. What would you do with some lip balm?
Oh, remember when that was a fad in Magic years ago?
Yeah, maybe not lip balm then.
No. It's interesting because there's always more room to explore.
I think I thought a lip balm just because we were talking about ashes and I used to use that for the ash
The
tricks.
gloop of it.
Yeah.
Lip, what would you do with it then?
lip balm. What would I do with it? Something that was visual.
There's a great trick by John Cornelius where he puts his hands up like he's like the police are saying freeze, you know, and he turns around in a circle. And when he comes back around, he has a cigarette out of his mouth, out of his mouth, and there's no way it could have got there. It'd be kind of cool to do the same sort of thing where, like, maybe you take the lip balm and you hold it in a fist up by your head, well, you know, and you put the other hand up as well, open, and you turn around, and when you come back around, the lip balm is like in your mouth like a cigarette, and your fist when you open it is empty.
I like that. I love those random little effects that you hear about where it's like there's no way this thing could have happened because my hands were here. And it's like it's the type of thing that magicians actually jam on, you know, when you're sitting around. That's the type of stuff that gets you excited. Something that I
Yeah.
was this
Did
is
you ever know the method for that John Cornelius thing?
I've never looked it up, no.
Let me tell you quickly. Please don't slaughter me for sharing this on the Blackout podcast, but I think it is worth sharing just because it's so creative. He took a little cigarette coloured tube of rubber and he lines it on his top gum across his mouth.
Nice.
And he had one of those big, like, 70s mustaches, so it helped as well. So he could talk normally with an open mouth, and then all you have to do is maneuver it into place as he had his back turned from his from inside his top lip.
Love it.
You imagine you
Absolutely
did
love it.
that with lip balm that was only half of it and it was printed and you lined up in your gum and you talked, you just grew a mustache. I mean, that's really the method.
Yeah, I mean, I can hide stuff in my beard quite easily. I've produced pencils and stuff from my beard before.
There's a magician that does that. John, is his name Johnny something? He produces coins from his beard. And I've seen a
Yeah.
guy produce an egg. The guy who designed the butterfly playing cards, not Andre, the guy who like actually drew them. He
Yeah.
designed, he produces a full egg from his beard, which is
I
crazy.
love that, dude. So there's something almost like it might be a side note, but it's tangentially related to this kind of stuff that we were just talking about then. Someone posted a question in the Black Art podcast, and I actually also saw Angelo Carbone post a question about it as well. Not in the Black Heart group, but elsewhere. So Matthew Morrow asked about ways that you can force numbers without, like, you know, cards and stuff. And Angelo Carbone, literally this morning, I saw he posted, does anyone have like any fun ways to force a number between 1 and 100 that doesn't use props? or you know, minimal props. And I always think about
Actually
this.
wrote a whole book on this.
Yeah.
I have a whole book written, never published, on numbers from 1 to 52 that uses methods that don't involve any props. And it was the original Maxim. You know the app Maxim that I have, which is the ACAN app? But the original thing was, it was based off something by, I read a book by, what's his name? Get Shot, not Get Shocky, the guy wrote Aha.
I don't know.
He's David Harkey.
Right.
Genius thinker. Literally one of the most creative magicians ever. He remember that trick with a straw, and you would tell someone, you'd move your finger along it, they'd say stop. And when you open the straw, exactly that part of the straw was melted, but the paper wasn't.
Yeah.
And the method for that is out of this world creative. Anyway, he has a book, and it's in his book, it's about spellings for every card position in the deck.
Yeah.
So he'd have a stack and a crib, and depending on what card they named, you would spell something like, I believe this is your card, or this is my lucky card, or your card will be here. And all of them are different lengths of spellings, and there was a position for each card in the deck. So that was like the genesis of it. I used to try and have a certain number forces for mnemonic stack positions, and then I read that. I was like, oh, I'm going to create a number force, or as many different number forces that aren't just spellings to come with that. I ended up writing a whole book, and the book was called 52 Outs, and that became Maxim eventually. But I have a few, yeah, basically.
Nice man. What I've been playing with lately is spinning a coin the exact same way every single time, so that it spins for the exact amount of time, which is the most long-winded
What?
force ever. But you know, if I start a timer and spin a coin, I've been getting it around about 33, 34 each time.
Fuck, that's clever.
But I'm still working on it. But then also, I was thinking if I just had a magnetic coin and a magnet on my knee underneath the table, I could make it stop at whatever stopwatch number I wanted, kind of.
I don't think I've seen that before for using it with the time force.
It's a weird one.
That's good.
But it was Matthew Morrow asked in the Facebook group, and I thought we should try and come up with some weird ones.
So just number forces that don't just arbitrary number forces, not
Yeah.
playing card psych forces, just number forces.
Well, they could be used in playing cards or psych forces, but it's just to force any number. David Peace
Any
actually came up with one. I can't say it on here, but he came up with one and messaged me about it recently, which seems to hit quite often.
do you have any in mind that you can throw out?
Well, the one I was working on was just the coin one, but
We had a good one before on part of the Country Keys. What was it? Country Keys Coffee, Coffee
Kissed.
Country Keys Kiss. Is
Yeah,
that what it
something like
called?
that.
You asked someone. Part of the routine was the last number you can force as a one, because you ask them to. It's a they're going to create a pin number, and they've created the first three are made from like how many countries they've visited, how many coffees they've had, something else. And then the last number you say, think about the age you were when you had your first kiss. So they do, and they say, if that makes it, if but if that happens to turn it into a 5-digit PIN number, just think about the first number
Yeah.
at the age of, like, because most people have their first kiss between the ages of like 10 and 20. So if it's a two, if any number, if they drop that second digit, it's a one. There's a way to force a one, which isn't the best number in the world to force, but it could be useful.
You know, surprisingly, at Blackpool, about three different people said that they'd used it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
That's
I put it
interesting. I
together
remember
into a
something similar.
PDF.
Yeah, and then we were about to print it onto business cards with like four outs, wasn't it?
Yeah, so in the
Four
PDF I
outs.
put together, it's got there's like I don't know how many there is, like 20 business cards or something with all the different outs on.
Oh, wow. But wasn't there's a way you can always you can force the number 4/5. Because the first number of everyone's bank card is always either, depending if whether it's Visa or MasterCard, isn't it? It's always either or like Santander versus Halifax kind of thing, will always be a 4 or a 5 or a 4/4 or a 5/5. So yeah, if you know, you just ask a group of people, oh, you know, hands up, who's got their bank card on, and who'd you bank with, and then there's a list that tells you that it depends. But that's a way of forcing them a 4/5. 4 or 5. The number 9 force is just beautiful to use in so many different places.
Yeah, I mean, if you can force two numbers independently, then you can usually mathematically use them somehow to get at least close to the number that you're wanting to force. So if you can force a nine and, any other single digit number, you can then force any multiple of nine pretty much.
What about this? Is this too stupid? Jake,
Yes.
imagine walking up to somebody's house. Imagine what street it's on. Imagine how many cars are on the drive. Think
Okay.
about what number the house is.
Okay.
And we need to imagine knocking the door and people answer the door. Lots of variables, lots of numbers, lots of things going on. Think about what number house it was. Think about how many cars there were. Think about how many times you knocked. Think about how many people answered.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now about how many times you knocked. Focus on that.
Okay.
It's the number three.
Yes.
If there was a way to disguise that you were thinking of that part, though, the saying was like cycle through the amount of cars, the number on the door, the amount of knocks, and the people. So go like that. One, two, three, and you keep cycling through, and you know that as you cycle, you're going to stop on how many knocks it was, but they don't. So you like just cycle through it in your mind and just change the next one, the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Okay, stop. Okay, whatever you're on now, think about however many numbers are in that thought. You know, maybe
Yeah,
something
what
along
you
those
could do
lines.
is you could have it so that you're making them think of numbers that are higher, and then they write them down in their notes or so, and you say, okay, choose the lowest number and we'll go with that one first. So it will always be the three instead of hexagon force. So if they're thinking of the house number, it's probably going to be like, well, I was thinking of number 40. I don't know what number people would use.
27.
Yeah. So I
But I
imagine.
said cars on the drive would be like 1 or 2, wouldn't it, normally?
Yeah, so I wouldn't use that,
But I
but I'd
just
think
discard that
like,
question.
what?
I would discard that question from it.
Yeah, I'd think of like, how many houses do you imagine are on this road?
Jake, that's actually a really good ploy, man.
You sound so surprised.
No, but I'm thinking that I'm running through it. Like, the whole thing is interesting. Imagine walking down a street. Imagine the name of the street. Okay. And actually, take a pen and paper, or just if you can in your head, do this. Right. Imagine how many houses on the street. Write it down. Imagine you walk up to a house. Okay. Write down what number that house is. Think about how many people live on this street. Might be a big, a few arbitrary numbers. You know what I mean? Think about how many times you knock the door. Da 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 da. And then, yeah, at the end, okay, go through those numbers. Whatever the lowest number is, think of that and cross the rest off.
Yeah, that's the first digit or whatever. Yeah, I think you could use that. It's just whether you couldn't repeat it for another number then. Not you couldn't use the same ploy, I don't think.
I bet you could in other circumstances, the ploy of masking something that is always the same, or hopefully always the same, and then adding it, surrounding it with a bunch of other things which could be random.
Yeah.
And then, for example, you say, like, imagine you go to the shop, you buy a pack of eggs. I want you to think about write down how many eggs would be in that pack. I want you to buy a bag of potato chips. Imagine how many potato chips are in that pack. Then you pay for it all. Imagine what the cost is. How many different aisles are in the store? Da 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 da. Now think of the lowest number that you've written down. Probably six, right? Because there's six eggs in a pack. Something, you know what I mean? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
But it's a way to kind of force any number where as long as the target number is something which is like universal that never changes, and then everything else is either lower or higher.
Yes. So it's very easy to think of universal numbers that are lower, but is there any that are higher where someone always goes for something that's high? Or what is like a constant that when you think of it, it's always like, 20 or 30 or 40 or
It could be like you say, maybe you say, I want, for example, You could, if it was like a date in history, like, so if you say, like, think of a and you could, they could use Google, I suppose, because they're not going to know this general knowledge off the top of their head, but like you could say, think of any dead president, okay, and think about the year they became president. Okay, now think of your favorite actor, imagine what year they were born. Think about, and then maybe you force like an event like the moon landing, right? So you just force that somehow. Like think of something which changed humanity, or maybe something that everybody around the world watched, a big event, and think about what year that happened in. And then you throw out, like something, could be like the Twin Towers, which is really bad, or an Olympics, but you're pretty sure they're going to go for the moon landing. So you cloud it with that, and then you say, think about X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. And then and then you could just go through and say, like, pick off the highest number on the list then, or pick up, the number that has like sim where the two digits look similar. And they go for, was it 69 or 63? I'm an idiot if it's 63, but
69, 63 was when JFK was assassinated, was it? I don't know.
I always get them confused. It was 69. It was 69.
So,
But yeah, you could do it in that way.
what's nice about it is that because they're just writing down these random numbers and because you're just asking them to visualize things, they don't necessarily know where it's going. And there's also even because they've written down a bunch of stuff, even just 10 or 20 seconds is enough time misdirection for that to just become a list of numbers that you've got no idea of knowing what they are.
Exactly.
I do like the fact that it's like it's just super open. So it seems.
And because you can use anything, and there's so many things that have like a universal consistency, you can theme it to a lot of stuff as well. So, if you're going to perform an effect and it's going to be food based, or like it can be any whatever you're into. Like it could be if you do it with I don't know, flowers or roses, and you have a rose because you're into that type of shit, and you
Oh, yeah.
it sticks stuff and star sign. But the cool thing is that after you've done, so say they're thinking of number six because they were thinking of six eggs and a carton of eggs, after all that, but in their head it seems crazy fair, like you could have done anything. You could then produce like a list of, like, okay, I've got a list of 10 things here. And the reason I'm asking you to think of the smallest number was because there's only 10 items on this list, and the items could be, it could be anything then. It could be countries, 10 countries, or 10 capital cities. And you say, so whatever number you're thinking of, think of the capital city that corresponds with it. At this point, they're like, well, fuck me, I could have thought of anything. And then you could just turn the list around, and it's the printed on the back is Rio de Janeiro or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I like that because then that also gives it a reason to be the, like you say, a reason to be the lowest number that they're going for. If it was
But it
a
means you can force anything else then. So, sorry, just to say, just so even though you're forcing a number, you could end up forcing anything in the world.
The what I kind of like I do like that idea and I like the idea of using it in a similar fashion to what we did with the coffee country keys kiss thing, as like, you know, this is how you get to the first digit of a longer number, because you could obfuscate it a little bit more by saying, we're going to make me a number as well. So you take the lowest number and then give me the highest number and write that down on a piece of paper for me. And it just makes it seem a bit more like something like there's nothing going on because they're just picking a number for themselves. Pick a number to give you.
And then you can force any two. So you're saying it's gonna be a two-digit number as well. This is how you can force any number. If you add two items, the one they pick for you could be a force two, and now it's like we'll take those two numbers together, and then you've got like 72 or 25, anything.
I mean, at the end
What
of
you need to
the
do is
day,
like whatever number you want to force, or whatever two numbers you want to force, just put into Amazon, like pack of, say the number's eight, pack of eight, and then see what Google says or Amazon says fills it in for you. What is in a pack of eight? Pack of eight Christmas crackers.
nice.
Do
Tootsies go with packs of eight.
they?
Yeah, they usually. I mean,
Pack of eight crayons.
mm?
Pack of eight batteries. Christmas crackers. I always assume Christmas crackers came in a pack of six. But then I come from poverty, so normally it was a pack of one.
Homemade Christmas crackers. You know what's annoying? You could do all this, or you could just use DFB.
Yeah, but you can't use DF. Well, you can, but like using DFB to force a number
Yeah.
is a bit tricky. Oh, I see what you mean, though. You could be like, oh yeah, use DFB to force the product or object, and then if it was like eggs, then think about how many is in a pack. Then the number could be six. I know it's 12 or 24 as well, but
Oh God.
that's not many.
I love coming up with new ways to force things, but then sometimes you do just think to yourself, yeah, but you could just use a Sven pad for anything.
Yeah, it's not as fun though.
No, it's not as fun. It's not as fun. And
And
I
then
do.
it begs the question, when it's stuff like this, they can never 100%, because it's not never 100% in terms of success, they can never be 100% sure how you did it.
Yes. What's interesting is you know the way you're almost washing away all those other numbers they wrote down. But if you were to still use the other numbers for something, it could be interesting. I'm just trying to think what you would use them for. So you say like you take the lowest number for yourself and then just pick any random number you want and that's going to be assigned to this and
The first thing that comes to mind is that if they were writing it down on a pad, for example, even though we were doing propolis, but you could do a toxic force or add a number pad for the remainder of the numbers. So then they think, say they're thinking of the number, say you do the house, the street house thing, and the number thing it was three, and then you say whatever those number is, think of this list of items. These are items from the shop, for example, and number three is a Kinder egg.
Yeah.
You say, okay, you're thinking of anything. What is it you're thinking of? Kinder egg. And then you produce a Kinder egg, and inside the Kinder egg is a receipt somehow, inside the little yellow little plastic egg thing, toy egg thing. They open up the receipt, and the total comes to the total of all the other numbers they wrote down.
Oh, that's interesting.
Little eggy surprise.
That's interesting. If you get someone else to add it up so that there's a switch.
Yeah.
Or use, would you remember that switch thing I made for you on your phone?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. That
Interesting.
would 100% work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I think we're looking at an hour in. I've got a few things I need to get done, but man, this was quite fun.
This is
This could
fun.
go a lot further, and I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'll try and be a bit more turned on next time. I'm just my brain's all over the place today.
You seem turned on enough to me.
Yeah, but that's just because I'm on the Zoom call naked. That's different.
He is. It's all hanging out.
Go on, then you go watch your snooker or your darts or whatever
I'm
important.
not. Do you know what I'm watching? Do you know what I'm actually watching? It sounds
Current.
so ridiculous.
Go on.
I'm literally just watching walkthroughs of Japan, the streets of Japan.
Oh.
I've been obsessed with it lately, like nighttime walkthroughs of Japan. So it's just like this video is 2 hours and 20 minutes of a dude just walking through the heavy rain in Enoshima in the early mornings. I
So
love it.
whenever anyone says to me, Lloyd's so hard to get hold of, I say, yeah, because he's watching 3-hour-long walkthroughs of Japan.
The last one I watched was 11 hours. It was. I want a lecture tour in Japan. So if anybody's got connections, hook me up.
Oh, hell yeah, that sounds rad. Can I come?
Yeah, 100%.
Sweet.
Somebody hook us up, please, in Japan.
Come on then, let's go. I've got shit to do as well.
Amazing. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Love this episode. And I've got loads of stuff on my head about like 14 and great question to ask. If you have any more questions, any more challenges you want to set to us, if any of you, especially like Skull and Bongs, can create that pencil trick with the spiral bound notepad, and show it to us, then that'd be rad. Go and check us out on theblackartco.com, and there you'll find links to the Facebook discussion group where you can ask questions, or you can send emails into us as well through theblackartco.com
Yeah,
at the same
just because
time.
I feel bad continuously referring to him as Skull and Bongs. His name is Sean Chandler. I think he changed his Instagram name recently, so Sean is his
Wicked.
name.
Probably for skull for job prospect reasons.
Potentially, I think he might be a
Everyone
teacher.
looks at someone's Instagram when they're employed these days. Represents death and drugs.
Yeah.
That guy's a genius. That was so good what he came up with.
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, enjoy. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you thought about it. Drop us some inquiries, and we'll get back to you. Till next week, folks. I've been Lloyd.
Been Jake.
Peace.
Peace.